the hypothesis was that if your brain isn't being stimulated by external influences, that we would go into a state of comatose. What we found, though, was that actually our brain goes into just to a deeper state of meditation. We sink into the theta brainwave state, and this is where the magic happens.
This is the Entrepology Podcast, the podcast where we optimize the bodies, brains, and lifestyles of entrepreneurs, go-getters, and world-changing innovators.
Welcome to the Entrepology Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker. As an anthropologist and naturopathic doctor, I optimize the health and performance of badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. You know, people exactly like you. Your business, body, balance, and inner badass, these are the themes that we are exploring. Before we jump into the interview, I want to invite you to join our free Facebook community, Legacy. If you want to be something amazing, you need to surround yourself with amazing people. The Legacy community is made up of badass women living, not leaving, but living our legacy every single day. We are leaders, parents, entrepreneurs, and innovators collectively committed to leaving the world better than we found it. My mission is to support the health and optimization of these badass superheroes, literally to places we never thought imaginable. If you are on a mission and get it that your health is the key to your unlimited potential, then join us. We are super awesome. You can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/BE Legacy. See you there. So I want you to picture this scenario. Your marriage is falling apart. You are deeply conflicted about whether or not your career is in alignment with your goals. You're on the opposite end of the country from where your family is and your core support systems. And the very first thought that comes to mind as all of these different things intersect and culminate is that I need to float. This is the experience of Lindsay McVie. Lindsay is my guest today, and she is the founder of the Flotation Center in Halifax, Nova Scotia. We explore Lindsay's journey from environmental engineer to entrepreneur and someone deeply committed to the mindfulness experience of those people in her community and those people around her. We're going to talk about flotation. And if you've never heard of us, you've got to stick around because it is an incredible hack to be able to access the brainwaves and mindset that people who experience meditation for years and years work so hard to find, and yet there's some very simple ways of being able to access it. This is a very cool notion. Lindsay's journey is incredible. I know for so many reasons you're going to resonate with the entire experience that we are about to share. It is my pleasure to introduce you to Lindsay McVie. Lindsay McVie, welcome to the Entrepology Podcast.
Thank you so very much.
Well, we have a lot to cover today. I'm really excited to learn more about your journey. You are the founder of the Flotation Center, and people are like, what? The Flotation Center? So we need to talk about what flotation is. We need to talk about how you became an entrepreneur, and we're going to talk about how we can leverage water as a hack towards deeper states of meditation and health promotion and all of these different components. So first of all, take us through the journey of how you got to where you are right now.
Certainly. So it started back when I actually was completing my engineering degree in SMU in Halifax here. And I didn't want to finish it in Halifax. So I ended up traveling to Australia for a year to travel and take some time off. And then I landed in UBC, where I ended up finishing up a chemical environmental engineering degree and working as an environmental engineer for quite some time. And one of the biggest challenges that I faced was that on the outside, I was doing my work. I was doing the engineering work, and I was pretty good at it. But on the inside, it was really challenging because I felt morally conflicted with some of the work and some of the proponents who I was working for and working with. One of the examples I would give is that I would, you know, be working on a research paper for them, and then on the weekend would be going and protesting maybe something that they were part of because I didn't agree with the environmental standards. So I always knew that there was a bit of a rift in how I was feeling about what I was doing versus what I actually wanted to do, which really came down to I really wanted to make people happy. I really wanted to serve others. One of the things that helped me get clear about that was my meditation practice. So I did go through a bit of a rough time a few years ago where my ex-husband and I split up. I experienced the loss of very close family members of mine, and then the sudden loss of my best friend. And I just knew that I couldn't continue on doing what I was doing. You know, the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over again, expecting different results. So I decided to move back to Halifax. And even when I arrived in Halifax, I had an engineering job all set up and it fell through. So I really had the universe kicking my butt out of the engineering profession, which I'm at the time was really challenging. But today I am so thankful for. So I remember lying at home on my bed and just thinking to myself, like, what is my dharma? What is my purpose? How can I serve? And I thought, you know what? I need to float. And I looked up the closest float space and it was in Montreal, about 12-hour drive away. And I thought, there's no way I am driving 12 hours just to float. And so when I mentioned this to my roommate at the time and our naturopathic doctor here about it, she said, you should do this. You can totally do this. And honestly, that was just the springboard there. We just kind of went for it. And I never looked back. And here we are, you know, it's been almost 3 years since we've been open, and not a regret in the world.
It's amazing. Okay, so we're going to delve into what floating actually is, because I know there's people going, I don't even know what you're talking about. But I want to back up, because there was two things. Actually, there were three things there that you mentioned that I actually think require a profound level of insight to even get there in the first place. The first one was just this realization that this lack of congruence in terms of what you valued and what you were doing every day was a non-negotiable for you. You were sort of intolerant to it in terms of your life. Yeah. Not everyone is. So why did you have the confidence to say, I can't do it? It has to be aligned.
Well, you know what? And I probably don't tell many people this, but when my partner and I were together, the plan was always, he was also an engineer and made a really good wage. And so when we were planning to start a family, once we got to that point, I was going to stay home and be an awesome mom with unschooling and this and that and everything. So I had always thought, just once till I get to this point, I won't have to do engineering anymore. You know, and just that, there was no be here, be happy now. It was always the end game. So when we split, I had this huge moment of just, oh my goodness, what am I going to do? Because all of the plans that we had made together, like, we were in the process of getting ready to try for children. And then he just came home one day and was like, no, not feeling it anymore. So that was a huge moment. So I could tolerate what I was doing because I knew I was not going to be doing it for long. I just didn't know that suddenly I would be moving back to Nova Scotia and opening up my own business.
Yeah, the things we actually don't know are coming our way. Yeah. The second thing you mentioned there is you said, I already had an established meditation practice. Where did you learn about meditation?
Well, I always joke around, but I get my kooky spiritual side from my mom. So I can recall her having old meditation tape sitting alongside waterfalls. And when I was a kid, I also thought that meditation meant levitation. So I would grab my Walkman, I would grab one of her tapes, and I would hide in their bedroom, kind of beside their bed where no one could see me. And I would lay on the floor listening to these meditation tapes, thinking that I was going to, you know, like, light as a feather and levitate off the ground.
That's amazing.
So yeah, it's really silly to think of it now. So I was introduced to it at a really young age and probably had a meditation practice on and off, kind of through high school, a little bit in university, but it wasn't until probably 2007 or 8 where I incorporated it into more of a daily practice.
And how did that change your life doing that? Because I feel like meditation is one of those things, it's this line in the sand, and people who do it are like transformative, and people who've never tried it are like, I'm not a meditation person, but it's like no one ever goes back.
Mm-hmm. So I got into it and stuck with it because I knew the science behind it. So that's the engineering side of me. And also I always wanted to be a lot like my mom. I wanted to have that really intuitive spiritual side to me. So I stuck with it for those reasons initially to get over. But then once I got going and realized, like, wow, the calmness, the peace of mind that brings, and a better sense of self. Like a really great example is that a lot of people can tell when they're going to get their period because they just know, oh, my body feels this way. Yeah, it's coming. I never had any clue. I was just kind of going through the motions in my life. And once I developed a meditation practice, I felt far more in touch with myself. I could, that little voice, our intuitive voice, I could listen to that much more deeply. And I felt a lot more self-assured. So it starts, honestly, in 16-second bursts. It's called 16 Seconds to Bliss, where you breathe in for 4 seconds, hold for 4 seconds, out for 4 seconds, and hold for 4 seconds. And when I tell people that all you need is those 16 seconds and you're a meditator, and I think that that helps people get over the nervousness of what people seem to think that meditation is based on our, you know, today's culture.
And what's really cool about that is that by the end of this podcast, everyone can do that. You can actually be a meditator by the time we're through.
Exactly. And also to just remember that meditator is just another label that we use, right? So you can a breather or whatever you want to call it, but those 16 seconds, that's all it takes. And that can have a profound experience through the rest of your life.
Okay. So we're a meditator and now we're like, we want to take it deeper, like that sense of peace and that escapism is maybe the wrong word, but a quiet, an evolution of quiet, I imagine, is what happens when one experiences flotation. So take us through what flotation actually is, and then we're going to get into like what actually happens. Like, how clean is the water? What's the process? Because those are always the logistical questions that my questioners come back to me with when I say you should think about trying this.
And I love talking about that too. So that's great. So flotation therapy has actually been around since about 1954. It was developed because the research scientist was looking to see what happened to the human brain when there was lack of stimulus input. So no sight, sounds, or smells, or the feeling of touch. The hypothesis was that if your brain isn't being stimulated by external influences, that we would go into a state of comatose. What we found, though, was that actually our brain goes into a deeper state of meditation. We sink into the theta brainwave state, and this is where the magic happens. There's a cortisol goes down, your blood pressure lowers, but then you have a release of happy neurotransmitters and endorphins and dopamine. So what happened from there is that it became a bit more commercialized so everyone can experience it. Today's flotation therapy tank is the size of a small car. In that small car size, there's about 11 inches of water, and in it is dissolved about 1,000 pounds of Epsom salts. And that water is heated to the temperature of your relaxed skin surface. So when you get into a float tank, you lay down on your back and you actually float kind of on top of the water. And while you're floating, there are no sights, sounds, or smells. And since the temperature of the water is the same as your skin surface, you end up not feeling anything at all. So it's simulating the exact same thing that happened back in the early 1950s experience, but now we're doing it in a more modern way, and with all those like hygienic principles and the respect that I believe that it really deserves now in a really controlled environment.
And so, you're not cold?
No.
And you're definitely not submerged. Is it a claustrophobic experience for people?
Well, I think that claustrophobia is one of the main concerns that people have. But the interesting thing about claustrophobia is that to experience it, you must have a visual point of reference. Since you're in the dark, you don't actually feel claustrophobic. It might be a nervousness of the dark, but we really work on a good walkthrough to make sure that people who come and float with us are empowered, feel fully in control of their experience. And you never have to be in the complete dark. You can leave the door open a little bit too. So that helps ease the mind a bit as well.
And are there add-on hacks that people do? Or like the idea is really that you, like there's nothing. There is nothing else that you do. There's no essential oils. There's no other experiential elements. You're really just there.
Well, the interesting thing with flotation therapy is that One of the things that couples with it really well is sound therapy. So we actually had an audio engineer that we worked with for 8 months to use the ancient principles of solfeggio frequencies that we tuned for our tanks. You can listen to the solfeggio frequencies through our tanks, similar to binaural beats. They have their own hacks, how they resonate with the different nerve clusters in your body, and they help certain things depending on the tone. It's also really great for listening to guided meditations as well. So we have some folks who do come in and bring their own audio, but we always recommend that when people do come in, the first time they float, they experience the pure flow, which is with no audio, so that they can kind of get used to the experience as it is, but also the potential that can happen when your brain isn't being pinged by all external stimuli.
And as a scientist, have you run your own experiments on people who float consistently? And let me contextualize this before you think I'm weird. What I mean is, do you use a Muse meditation set and find that, you know, people are able to achieve desired meditation outcomes faster? Or like, do you have any measurable outcomes that you guys look at that you've noticed with people who engage in flotation on a regular basis?
So personally, from this space here, everything that we experience is qualitative. However, there is a lot of fantastic research out there, including a publication that just came out in January of this year from the Laurie Institute for Brain Research down in Tulsa, that proves and shows the potential of flotation therapy for people who experience generalized anxiety. So even though we haven't done it here, and I have reached out to local universities and the medical school here to say, we've got these great flotation therapy tanks. And I know that our Nova Scotia College of Medical Doctors is being told, stop writing so many prescriptions. We need to focus on proactive health as opposed to reactive. And similar to what you do, right? You want to treat the problem, not just a symptom. So I reached out to them for that and would love to participate in something like that. But like me, no one really has a lot of time. So all of the resources that I focus on come from external spots. But you would not believe the amazing quality and quantity of research that's been performed about flotation therapy. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, and I can only imagine for so many reasons how compelling that literature would actually be. How are people who are using your center regularly, how are they leveraging it? Is it something they're doing once or twice a year? Is it reactive, proactive? What kind of patterns are you seeing people use?
So we really focus here on creating a practice. We don't use the words like challenge when we run month-long programs. We want to use the word practice. So monthly members come in once a month, or that's what they're, you know, kind of initially signing up for. And a lot of folks, it's just the same what you would do to your computer modem. You just unplug the back, you hit the reset button, and it kind of resets you down to just a nice foundational level. So people really enjoy it for that. Now, then we have folks who come in who are using it on a regular basis, maybe once a week, to aid with the management of anxiety that they experience, or depression, or even pain management, because it's incredibly beneficial for folks who do experience chronic widespread pain. So person to person.
Yeah, so fascinating. Have you seen any shifts for people from an immune health perspective?
So we have folks who come in who actually come in to float after they've had surgery, because it allows their body to heal and to rest, because that's one of the things that, you know, we usually need when your immune system's shot. You usually just need a lot of rest. And a gentleman who came in, the doctors could not believe how fast he recovered, and he was coming in to float once every 3 days. So that's just like one kind of slice of an example. One of our float ambassadors, actually, Jeremy Saunders, he has cystic fibrosis, and it's one of the only times that his body feels rested, because he's always coughing and always tight, and his lungs are always sore. So, I mean, even just providing relief from the symptoms of someone's illness is is quite beneficial for so many people.
Yeah, and this is really fascinating to me because one of the things that I, so my population are entrepreneurs that I work with, and one of the ideas that I'm exploring is not that we move into a state of relaxation and restoration as a reward for a quarter of really hard work, but that we actually enter a time period that is going to require the best of us, our most creative selves, our most focused selves, that we actually enter those periods from a place of what I call radical relaxation. And we see outcomes when people can do it. It's just such a mind shift. But as you're talking about this, I'm kind of excited actually to explore flotation as a way of kind of hacking into that idea of not making it my way of recovering, but actually my way of proactively putting myself into a peak state before I'm tired.
Yeah, you know what? So when I first opened, I would just try to float whenever I could. We were so busy and I was exhausted. And anxiety from owning a business slowly crept into my lifestyle that the second summer that we were open, I could barely get on my motorcycle because I was so anxious. So once I started floating on a regular basis, which for me is once a week, I've had, touch wood, I've had zero anxiety attacks in the last year. It's been since the end of April. So just that little proactive bit, and I can also see myself and in this kind of recapitulation of my last year, that I'm becoming a better and better person. And I really like to practice the four agreements. And one of them is always do your best. And I can see that my best now is better than it's ever been before.
Yeah, it's so amazing. And how true, right? That as an entrepreneur, you've got this resource down the hall and you don't use it.
Yeah, you're so true. Like everyone also thinks this must be the most zenest business to own. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, there are 24 people who are part of our center. I never imagined it to get this big. Thank goodness I own have founded a space where our focus is relaxation and personal growth.
Yeah, no kidding, right? And everyone's forgiving of that. Lindsay, how else do you support your health? Because clearly you're someone who is committed to mindset. You spoke of a naturopathic doctor, and it's really just one thing that takes people's health to the next level. What else is going on behind the scenes for you as an entrepreneur, but as someone who's is engaged and values this system and this lifestyle? What else is happening for you?
That's the interesting part, is that I've spent the first 3 years of this business focusing on everyone else but myself. I experience guilt when I'm not working on or in my business, things like that. So only in the past couple months have I been able to create a little bit of a lifestyle shift where I've hired an extra person to take over some of my front desk shifts so that now I'm able to focus on reading, taking a bath. I haven't been to the gym in a year. And so that's what I'm shifting back to doing, getting fresh air, communing in nature. So a lot of the things that I always encourage here at the Flotation Center as your extra curricular activities were things that I hadn't done for a very long time. And I'm now only finding the time to integrate it back into my life. So working on not feeling guilty. It's that a lot of mental health stuff has been the big one for me, is just working over getting the negative self-talk. But again, I always come back to the four agreements because they seem to be what provides me with the most relief from my, you know, the prison of my mind some days.
Right. And that's that evolution of being an entrepreneur, where it's like, if you wanted to work all the time, you could work all the time.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. It's interesting because my partner is also a business owner who can also always work all the time. But he rarely gets burnt out. He can just go, go, go. And we've been lucky that we've both been able to build one another up, and my good traits and his good traits, we've melded them together. So even seeing him and what he used to be like to who he is now, and finding time to be quiet and to rest too, like it took me a long time to see what I needed to do. And then now it feels good that I'm actually consciously doing it.
Yes. And you've got these resources. You've got these resources around you, because I think what we as entrepreneurs, and tell me where your guilt comes from, because mine always came from this idea of we have the societal framework of 9 to 5. And then the people I know who worked for other companies but were really moving forward with their careers, they had 9 to 5, but then they also had every evening and they also had a constant connection to email. And so it was work all the time. Mm-hmm. But that is not the mindset or work framework that best serves people who need to be both creative and disciplined with respect to their business systems. And it just doesn't work for entrepreneurs. And yet we feel tethered to it, that this is the only work model or work ethic that moves a business forward. And it was massive for me when I started to abandon that framework as a metric for my own commitment to work.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's been interesting because initially my guilt came around from my lack of social connections, because I went from being this kind of major community oriented person, whether like in my free time or whether it was like one of the three jobs I was working while I was trying to make the flotation center happen, to my life became this space, and slowly people kind of stopped inviting me out, and I became really isolated and lonely. And once I got a little bit more comfortable with that and finding time, you know, in my schedule to reach out and connect with people, that lightened. But a lot of my guilt now comes around, and it's so silly to say, but was like worried about what people thought of me in terms of, am I working enough? Am I doing enough? If I decide to work from home today, will my employees think poorly of me? Which is really funny, because I never thought that would be a thing. But it was an odd feeling to creep in. But I work 6 to 7 days a week. Now, that's changing a little bit now. It has to change. It's not sustainable. But so my thoughts and feelings around feeling guilty about that need to change as well. It's not good. And also, who cares? Like, who cares except for me about how much work I'm doing and if I'm wearing sweatpants or not, you know?
I don't care.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I love it. Thank you.
I'm just throwing it out there. I don't care at all. You know, one of the things I love to do is just connect people who are living these authentic lives. And what's really cool about what you just shared is that it is actually where you're at. And mm-hmm. the reality is that's where so many of us are at as entrepreneurs, is that, you know, and I find this especially as a practitioner, but people in health, is that we really want a lifestyle for our clients. And yet it's so hard as business owners to be able to constantly live that at the same time. And I think you're just speaking the truth of what so many of us are experiencing. It's really difficult to be all things to everybody at all times, including to ourselves.
Oh, certainly. Like, it really, really surprised me to feel this way. I wasn't prepared for it whatsoever. And I did some business training courses before opening my business. I went through a government program, and one of the things that I felt was lacking in that program was actually a module on resilience and mental health in the workplace, being an entrepreneur. So I actually reached out and I applied to teach a course or like a module on it, but it caught me off guard because no one really talks about it either. Like to be told that I would feel as lonely as I did for the first 2 years of my business prior, I wouldn't have guessed it. I thought, oh, no way. You know, I'm going to interact with people all the time, but you just have these small snippets of interaction that you're always giving yourself to. And then you just kind of isolate yourself for a little bit, because as someone in the health profession, that you would totally understand this, it's so easy to give your energy away. And so then I had to sit back and then relax, and I had to isolate myself so I could kind of charge the batteries again. I just hadn't expected feeling this way whatsoever. But now that I recognize it, I talk about it a lot more, because I don't want anyone to experience you know, the first 2 years of what this place was like for me in terms of a mental health capacity.
Yeah. And it's massive. It is really massive within the entrepreneurial community, depression and anxiety. And the entrepreneurial journey is super high. And you're like, I love being an entrepreneur. It's amazing. And then the next day you're like, why am I doing this? And then it's just, you're all over the map. And
it's a roller coaster.
It's a roller coaster, which is why I'm like, hey, entrepreneurs, you need to get yourself to a flotation center. Because I think this is going to be, for me, one of those things that I'm putting on my list for the next few months to really explore as a way of being able to take myself out of that anxiety. I'm super excited to try it. And I'm going to let you know how it goes. Lindsay, what's next for you on your entrepreneurial journey?
Well, right now, one of the biggest hurdles for flotation therapy is that it isn't currently covered through extended health benefits. So I've been really fortunate in that I secured some funding through a nonprofit association that people can get their floats funded for. But I often think about legacy and what I would like to leave behind. And it would be, if not it come to completion, but at least the roadway for having and the framework for having flotation therapy recognized and then covered under extended health benefits, because I truly believe that every single person out there can benefit from floating, can benefit from unplugging from the world, and can benefit from spending some really good contemplative time to themselves in an environment where they're not tethered to technology.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. I'm totally sold. So for myself and for other people, if we are picking a float center, and if you're out on the East Coast, you're in Halifax, is that right?
Yeah, in Halifax, Nova Scotia, right in the North End.
Okay, so if you're in Halifax, you know where to go. But if you're not in Halifax and you're like, I'm intrigued, I want to try this, what should people be looking for in terms of assessing the quality of a float center near them?
So what I would say is this, is that There's a website called Flotation Locations that they can go and check out. Go with your gut. Now, the interesting thing about flotation therapy industry is that it isn't a regulated industry. Fortunately, I have an engineering background and I knew all the processes to go through in terms of reaching out to the Department of Health and Wellness here to say, like, here are all of my processes in terms of how we are maintaining the flotation therapy tanks. Here are all of our procedures that if we do have some sort of incident, whatever that may be. So if you're ever interested in but a little bit nervous, get in touch with the people who own a float place that is in the area and then just go from there. You can always peek in. And if you have the gut feeling, if you're like, this is the place, awesome. If not, try another place, because it may not even just be the quality of, you know, like a pristine white and shiny place that attracts you. It could also just be the people who are going to guide you through your experience.
Yeah. Such great advice. Lindsay, how would you define health?
Health. That's something that I think I'm always working on. I just know that it's not just a compartmentalized thing. It's your entire being. And that it's not something that we can define and put into a box like that.
Yeah, fair enough. It is an ongoing journey.
Yeah, it's not a finite thing. And health changes as you change, becomes what's your priority for you today might not be a priority for you tomorrow.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Each month, I'm featuring a new Anthropology quiz to help you unlock and uncover some of the physical performance blocks that may be holding you back from your true potential. When you know better, you can do better. To learn more or to take the quiz, head on over to meganwalker.com/Anthropology quiz. What a perfect way to transition to the second component of our interview. And this is where we look at KPIs or key performance indicators. So
I'm so excited about this part.
Right? So just like we have them in our business, we have them in our lives. So I've got a few rapid fire questions that you have not seen beforehand. And I'm going to throw them your way because we just want to get a sense of how you do it. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do this.
Lindsay, do you have a consistent morning routine? And if so, can you share it?
It's not entirely consistent, but it's pretty darn good. I get up, I try not to look at my phone, use the restroom. I either have them sit in a meditation practice in the morning, or I do it when I get to work. And my partner always brings me a cup of tea every morning as well.
Oh, I need to hook that up. Well played. Mm-hmm. Fiction or nonfiction, what are you reading right now?
All of my books that I have going on right now are nonfiction.
Okay, fair. What of all the books you have going on, what is the one that you're like, I'm loving this?
I'm reading Ram Dass Polishing the Mirror again, because I'm going to see him. I'm volunteering at his retreat in May, so I'm just trying to absorb everything that's Ram Dass right now.
Love it. What is one thing you are most consistent with respect to your health?
Getting enough sleep. I love sleep, and it's why, touch wood, I didn't get sick this year. Rest.
Absolutely. Sleep is a recurrent theme with the interviews I've been doing today. I feel like the universe is speaking to me.
Oh, totally.
What is something totally badass about you that people would not otherwise know?
I ride a motorcycle, and I started a woman's motorcycle club here in Halifax.
Okay, like that is
badass, right?
That is totally badass. I love that. I wouldn't have seen that coming. That's amazing. So and maybe these two are related, but what do you do for fun or play?
In the summertime, it is a motorcycle, like taking quick rips on my bike. But do you know the one thing that I really love is dancing. And when I can go somewhere and let my hair down, it's one of the ways that I can just let loose, and it's freeing. And I'm only concerned about myself in that very moment.
Amazing.
And also when the next beat's going to drop.
Yes, fair. Last question, Lindsay, entrepreneurism. Are we born this way, or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
I think that you can learn to become it, because I never would have pictured myself being this, doing this. And in the past, my relationships of people around me wouldn't have been supportive of it. But I'm learning. I'm still learning. I'm always learning.
I love it. Lindsay McPhee, it has been an absolute pleasure to have you on the podcast. I know people are going to be intrigued by this conversation and what you're up to. Where can people learn more about the things you're putting out into the world?
Absolutely. People can pop over to our variety of social media platforms. Our website's theflotationcenter.ca. And then things like our Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram are all The Float Center. So, and if you just need to Google it, just Flotation Center in Halifax, and you'll find all of our goodness there.
Amazing. Next time I'm in Halifax, I am definitely dropping by to say hello. It's been such a pleasure. Lindsay, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thank you so much, Dr. Megan. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
If you enjoyed our conversation and would like to hear more, head on over to Stitcher or iTunes and subscribe to the Entrepology Podcast. We would also really appreciate a quick review. When people have their health, they can change the world. Let us keep you healthy and you go change the world.